Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 19 Millionen Euro. 19 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Women in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today, we welcome Izzy Judd, the genre-defying violinist and Britain's Got Talent finalist, as well as social media star. We will be discussing growing up in a musical household and adapting your career when having a family. Hello, my name is Esther Abrami, and today we are at J&A Beers in London, and we're back for another episode of Women Classical. In front of me, I have the wonderful Izzy Judd. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Esther.
So the first question I'd like to ask is kind of back to the basics. How and why did you get into music?
So I was surrounded by music growing up. I'm the youngest of four children. My mum and dad ran a music school. All my brothers played. So
you're already all into the
music
world.
Exactly. Though I don't think I ever asked myself if that was what I was going to do. It was just as normal as like brushing our teeth in our family. It was just everything from, you know, Christmases to... And I think it's a way as a family we've always been able to maybe express ourselves in a way that sometimes you don't through words. So it was just such a core foundation of our family life. And then I think my parents were probably quite savvy and realized that it meant that we could have a good education through gaining music scholarships. And I never felt like a pressure from them that was the avenue we were going to go down. It was just a very natural progression that I just followed, really.
Yeah. And so how did you choose the violin?
Yeah. So I think my mum's dream was to have a string quartet. My oldest brother was viola. Then Magnus was violin, Guy cello. So there there was a spot for a violin. but then my oldest brother, Rupert, kind of ruined that dream because he was just meant to be a brass player. He was just far too loud to play a string instrument without stereotyping. So he became a French horn player.
That ruined the quartet idea.
Yeah. But I don't know, the violin, I guess I was more naturally drawn to, and I was four, I think, when I first picked up like a tiny violin, and I just wanted to be like my brothers.
Same thing. And how did you kind of get on from that side of things of, you know, doing it and then actually thinking I'm going to go further into that, I'm going to study that further? So you went to Cheetham School of Music, and did you go to music college after that? How did that decision come about?
I mean, to be really honest, when I was sort of 11, 12, I loved dancing and drama, and I was at home. My other brothers were choristers at King's in Cambridge, and I was sort of exploring lots and lots of different things, and I just loved to perform. But sadly, when I was 12, my oldest brother had a really serious car accident and was left severely brain damaged. And at that time, Magnus and Guy were at Cheetham. So it made sense, because of the pressures that my parents were under with Rupert's care, for me to sort of join them at Chet. So my choice of what I wanted to do was slightly narrowed, maybe quicker than it would have been, purely based on family situations. But then in my sixth form, I sat down with my mum and was like, I'm not sure that this is absolutely what I want to do. I really miss that kind of performing element with acting and dance. And then an advert came up for an electric string quartet. And I went for the audition and I got in. And that was a band called Wild. And it was managed by Mel Bush, who was Vanessa May's manager. And so I went off down that route. And it kind of gave me my place, because my brothers were sort of very traditionally, classically yeah. trained, and I was able to find my own little niche that way.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And how did you feel, how kind of going, doing something different than, I guess, your brother, and within the same idea, obviously, but being the one that kind of went out of the traditional path?
Yeah. Again, I don't think, I mean, even though my parents were both musicians, had a music school, and my brothers were very much going down the classical route, I think I was encouraged. Yeah. And it was fun and it was exciting, and I got to tour and see the world, and it was just a brilliant opportunity. Yeah. And so even though I had gone to the Royal Academy yeah. For a year, I did then leave and kind of pursued this different avenue.
I know there's been many, but if you could pick kind of one highlight in your career, what would it be?
I think when I think about music as a highlight, I think for me it's been such a, through trauma in our family, it's been a wonderful way to kind of celebrate our family. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my big highlights have been watching my brothers do amazing things, both of them, and be at their concerts. And Rupert, who had the head injury, is still able to play the French horn. He played at my wedding, which was amazing. But I suppose from a personal point of view, we did Britain's Got Talent. I was in a Scala, and that was pretty cool. And we did the Bond premiere in Leicester Square. Oh. So, yeah, I've done some kind of different, not what I expected to do. It feels like a lifetime ago now.
And you talked a little bit about it, and in terms of challenge that you've gone through. But I know, obviously, we all go through different types of challenges. But also, I think as women in the industry, we also have our kind of added part of challenges through that. But you know, what challenge did you face? And they can be more general or, you know, different. And how did you overcome them? And how have you learned to overcome them with time?
Mm. So, I mean, right from the get-go, my brothers went to, they were choristers at King's. Mm. And as a little girl, I think I must have been about 5 or 6, I looked up to my dad and said, "Why can't girls be choristers, Daddy? You know, why are my brothers able to do this and I'm not?"
Yeah.
And then moving on, when I was in a Scala, I think there was an element of, in the profession, in the kind of serious classical profession, that we weren't, maybe a slight snobbery of, you know, "Oh, we're in dresses, you know, strutting our stuff." And actually, there was an occasion where somebody actually said, "Oh, did you see those 4 girls on, you know, Britain's Got Talent?" And my brother was sat at the table. This was with lots of musicians. Mm. And he's not the kind of person to say, "Actually, that's my sister." Yeah. He sat there quietly. And then later on, she read an article and realized that actually one of Magnus and Guy, who she's worked with, they're my brothers. And I come from exactly the same caliber and foundations. Yeah. I just chose a different route. So maybe occasionally just feeling, you know, I have worked really hard and just because I've gone down that route doesn't take that away. So I suppose that was a slight challenge. But I didn't really, I guess, let it affect me too much because I was just having a great time. And
That's interesting. We were talking in an earlier episode with Mining Class, and she mentioned a similar thing about, you know, whenever you go to something a bit different to the usual, more classical path, and for some reasons, then some people assume that you've not worked as hard or you don't have the same foundation, even though, you know, just like you said, which was, it was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Foundation and the way you got there was the same thing, then it was just a different choice.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so how do you, so you said, you know, it didn't affect you. How do you kind of cope with that? Do you just kind of not listen to that? How do you cope with it personally?
To be honest, I think if it affected me in any way, it was a sudden awareness of appearance. Mm. you know, when you're in a little bubble in a music school and you're not really thinking about, well, it's not so highlighted. And suddenly, you know, if you're in a basically a girl band, you're going to get more aware of yourself and, you know, being filmed and cameras. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was wearing a pair of shoes on a video shoot, and they came and said, oh, we need to swap your shoes because it's making your legs look short. And that was a weird moment of like, this isn't really what I kind of signed up for. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a violinist. And so those were kind of interesting learning curves. But I'm sure there's many of those kind of stories. And, and I don't think that guys would be told that they need to change their shoes. So, that's just some of the challenges.
And my next question and things I'd like to talk about is women figures who have inspired you during your life, and that can be family members or people who are you close to, or musicians who you've not met, people who are not there anymore, you know, anybody that comes to mind.
So my daughter really inspires me now. I mean, she's six and I'm just starting the violin with her.
Oh, okay.
And it's so wonderful to watch children kind of live this free life without all the external stuff going on there. They're so naturally mindful and present, and everything is about that moment and they move on from things. And so I learn through my children are just the best teachers, really, to remind you to bring yourself back to that. But in terms of other, I mean, my grandmother was an amazing woman. She lived on her own for such a long time. She lost her husband quite young, and she worked till she was 92.
Wow.
And she just had this such strength about her. I often think about her.
And is there any woman within the music industry that you had as role model or that you looked up to? It's fine if not, because I often get asked the question, you know, in terms of the violin world, and there's just so few that, you know, that were, now there's quite a lot, but there were just so few that it's sometimes hard, and sometimes you have, you know, somebody else that inspired you. But
yeah, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of the people growing up who I was inspired by or who saw were male. I mean, my violin teachers were men who inspired me, my brothers. So I don't know, actually, and a lot of composers I like. So I probably
it's a weird thing, isn't it? You kind of ask yourself, oh, wait.
I mean, now I'm sure there's so many more. And that was the great thing about doing a Scala, was it was opening up music to the younger generation, and sort of being able to, like what you're doing, you know, speak to the younger generation, you know, to keep music alive, classical music alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I guess my last question, it's, I'd like to know if you could give one piece of advice to girls coming into the industry now today, what would be maybe something that you wish you had known, or you wish that somebody would have told you at the beginning, but you found out by yourself later on?
Just remain true to yourself. Always make sure that you do what makes your heart sing and not someone else's.
Thank you so much for being here today. The chat was really inspiring, so thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.